Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Pastor Chris, your missions and outreach pastor, so glad you're joining us here this morning. I want to welcome Meadville campus, Vernon Township campus. Good morning to you, Newcastle, and all you online visitors. Isn't it special? It's crazy to think about it. People are watching us all around the world online. Let's give them a warm welcome. Amen. We're so glad you joined us with us today. I want to thank Pastor John and Michelle for giving me this opportunity to speak into your lives. I'm very excited about today's message. I've entitled today's message, Imitate. Turn to your neighbor and say, imitate. If you've been walking with God for a long period of time, and you all have your devotion life, which I know you do, right? Yes, Pastor Chris, we have a devotion life. Yes, I read my Bible every day, I pray and I seek God, I have a relationship with Him. And if you've done that for any period of time, this has probably happened to you. When you're reading a scripture that you've read multiple times, but one particular day it just kind of leaps off the page on you. And you're not able to release that scripture, the Lord's trying to give you revelation of it. That's what happened to me this particular day. I've read Ephesians, it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I've read it, actually, this is not an exaggeration, hundreds of times. And I've glanced over this scripture many times, but this particular day, this scripture just jumped off the page, and the Lord hasn't released me from that since then. Usually when that happens to you, that becomes a life message or a life scripture that's just really meaningful to you. This is one of those scriptures to me. I'm going to try to convey it over to you today and how you can apply it to your lives. Let's look at it together. It's Ephesians 5:1. It'll be up on the screen. Ephesians 5:1. It says, be imitators of God, copy Him, and follow His example in everything you do. As well, beloved children, imitate their father. Okay, let's check out the Message translation of the same verse, Ephesians 5:1. Watch what God does, then you do it. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Well, to be honest with you, man, when I first started, like, Lord showing me that scripture, I'm thinking, how in the world could I imitate God? You're God, I'm not. I look at Christopher and I look at all the mistakes I've made, all the sins I've committed, all my shortcomings, and yet, God, you're telling me I'm to imitate you. I'm to copy you. That's where we get the word copycat. And here's what's interesting about that verse, guys. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Turn your neighbor and say, it's a command. That's a big difference. God doesn't suggest things to us. He doesn't put them out there and say, Christopher, it'd be great if you just try to copycat me. No, this is a command. And you know what's interesting with Christians is we love when God saves us and comes into our life and we're going to heaven, He forgives us of all our sins, we have His peace, He heals us, He never leaves nor forsakes us. But being a Christian has some responsibilities. There's some things that you and I need to do. This is one of them. God is calling you and I to be imitators of Him, to watch Him and observe Him and copy Him. Well, to be honest with you, the more I thought about that, it was like the old tilt on the pinball machines. You know what that is? Tilt on the pinball machine, it's like when you shook it so much, it just shut down. That's what happened to me. I was like, how in the world, God? You're going to have to keep showing me something, how I could imitate you. I just can't grasp it. All as I kept thinking about was Chris, you know? And the Lord said this to me. This is all He said. Christopher, when the Lord's trying to get something through to me, He uses my full name. He says, Christopher, you've been trying to imitate people your whole life. Do that. Let me say that one more time, because this is what I believe He wants you to hear. You've been imitating people your whole life. Do that. So I'm thinking, God, there's got to be more than that. But I start thinking about, as a little child, I went back to my childhood. And my dad was my hero. My dad was such a hard worker, man, and that's probably where I get it from, but he was such a hard worker. He worked all day at U.S. Steel, and then he'd come home, and he'd paint people's houses in the neighborhood. He'd mow their lawns, and I could not wait for my dad to get the lawnmower out, and so I could just follow in his footsteps. And he'd walk through the lawn, walk around the lawn, man, a little tyke, I'm out there. He was walking in front of me, and I was just following him around. I just wanted to be like my dad, man. In fact, so much so that I started a landscaping company, and I've been mowing lawns for over 45 years. Yeah. Here's what I want you to get out of that. I followed in his footsteps. Say, followed in his footsteps. What if you and I would do that with God? Follow in his footsteps. Just follow after him. My dad would grab the hammer. I want to grab the hammer like him. I wanted to pound the nails just like him. In fact, people have said over the years, you're just like your dad. You remind me, you look just like him. What if God said that about you and I? Amen. That's my son. He looks, you see that guy? He acts just like God. Some people, that's a tilt on a pinball machine. Tilt, man, for me to act like God. Well, I'm using these illustrations because Jesus did the same thing. I'm just trying to imitate him. He used parables. He used things in the natural to get his messages across. And so I like that because sometimes I need a little help. And you might not remember everything I said today, but you probably will remember Pastor Chris pushing a little mower across the stage. And you might remember this. When I was growing up, man, all I ever wanted to be was a professional baseball player. I played baseball all growing up, man, and I had my favorite player. And, you know, my uncle had season tickets to the Pittsburgh Pirates. You all know who the Pittsburgh Pirates are? We have a professional baseball team in Pittsburgh. They're called the Pirates. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, they were contenders, man. They had a lot of great stars. Now, if you're a Pittsburgh Pirate and you're watching, man, we love you, man. And we hope they keep you, but they've been tending to send you off as soon as you become good. So anyhow, I would get to go to these games. My uncle had 10 season tickets right behind home plate, Three River Stadium. And we sat with all the Pirate wives at that time, and man, there were some big stars. And I had my favorite baseball player on the Pirates, and I wanted to see if you can, any of you can guess who my favorite player might have been. All right, here we go. This guy had a unique warm-up like no one else in baseball. Who was it? Willie Stargell. Isn't that pretty wild that Willie's been dead for a long time? Pastor Chris is not Willie Stargell, but I imitated him enough for you to know who that was. Isn't that crazy? How about that? Wonder if we would do that with God. Amen. I would watch Willie, man. He was left-handed. I'm left-handed. Willie was number 8. If I always got to pick my uniform, I got to pick number 8. I wanted to throw the ball just like Willie did. I wanted to catch like Willie did. I wanted to bat like him. That's where I got his pre-warm-up bat swing. In fact, we had seats right here. You could look in the dugout. When he'd come in off the field, man, I'd watch him so intently. I'd watch him stick 3-4 pieces of bazooka bubblegum in his mouth. I'd do the same thing. Guys, I even went this far. I watched how he blew his bubbles, and I wanted to blow my bubbles just like Willie Stargell. You say, that's crazy, Pastor Chris. Yeah, I know it's crazy, but what I want you to get out of that is I watched him intently. I mimicked him. I copycatted him. I wanted to be like Willie Stargell. What would it look like if you and I would do that? You just hang out with Jesus and watch his every move and try to mimic him and copycat him. Well, me becoming a professional baseball player kind of went the wayside. I couldn't gain any weight. I know you struggle with weight. You hate people like me, but I couldn't gain weight. And I was never going to probably be fast enough, but I'd always loved music. Oh, man, I was into music big time, particularly classic rock. And, man, I wanted to be a rock star. To be totally honest with you, Pastor Chris still wants to be a rock star. I wanted to be a rock star so bad, man. I knew all the groups. I knew the artist. I went to all the concerts. I could tell you everything about them. At that time in my life, I looked like one. I dressed like one. I had long hair. I couldn't play, never played an instrument, but I wanted to be a rock star. Here's what I want you to see about that. Is I had in high school, I had a 69 Pontiac GTO. And when I tell you this car was bad, man. That means good. Harrison would say it was really dope. But it was good. It had a 400 Ram Air in it. It had a Hurst 4-speed, 50s in the back, 70s up front. This car was fast and it was bad. I wanted to be a rock star so bad, I sold that 69 GTO, my prized possession, and I went out and ordered me a left-handed, custom, white Rickenbacker bass. This one right here. You get that? I sold my prized possession to imitate rock star, who I liked at that time, and I still do, and I would have done anything to become a rock star. There was this band in Zilly. They needed a bass player. I went down there, didn't know how to play one note, but I looked like it, and I had the bass, and they're like, you're in, we'll teach you how to play. Yeah. So, I said all that to say this, and I wanted to give you an example of that, is because I copied my dad by walking in his footsteps. I watched Willie Stargell, man, and I watched his every move, and I wanted to be like him. And then I would have done anything to be a rock star. What if you and I would do that with God? He's calling us to do it. And here's what I want you to know about God. He never calls us to do something, or he never calls us to be something that he hasn't already enabled us or equipped us to do or to be. Let me repeat that. If you find something in the Word of God, he says, I want you to do, or I want you to be this, I want you to go do that. It isn't that you have to drum something up in yourself. It isn't like you have to obtain that, work some, climb some spiritual ladder. It's all, he's already enabled you. He's already equipped you to imitate him. And I know that might be tilt for you on your pinball machine, but what I want to do today is try to make that so real to you. God is saying to you, the same way that you and I have imitated people our whole lives, and I know you have, do that. Just do that. That makes it obtainable for me. I can at least see it. That's where I come up with those props. I hear so many Christians say over the years, I can't tell you how many Christians, man, I wish God never speaks to me that way, Pastor Chris. I wish he would talk to me. I never hear God. Can I help you with your problem? Hey, dummy. Pick me up off the coffee table, dummy. I'll speak to you all day long. Did you ever see God smile? This is God right here. This is God. God and his word are one. God and his word are one. God and Jesus are one. God, Jesus, and his word is one. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and the word are one. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then you go down a couple verses, my favorite is, and this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Man, that is so good. We want to know what God's will is in anything. We look to Jesus. You want to know what Jesus would do? Look to the Word of God. They always confirm each other. I wonder what God would do in this situation. Well, how about getting into his word? It's been with him since the beginning. He sent Jesus as a representation. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the exact representation of God Almighty. If I want to see what God would do, how he would think about things, what he would say, what he would do, then I need to look to Jesus. And how I look to Jesus is looking to his word. So many Christians want to bypass this part. Oh, I want all God's benefits. So do I. I want all his privileges, so do I. But not a lot of people are willing to spend every day in this Word of God. You have to be in here. You can't bypass the Word of God. You have to put it in you and put it in you and put it in you so you know whose you are, what you have, and what you can do. You cannot bypass the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to go this far. You can't get this, what I'm talking about today, imitating God, by just coming to church on the weekends. Oh, we want you to come to church. Believe me, we want you to be here. You keep coming to church. You know what? You can't get this kind of lifestyle. You can't mimic God and copy him by being in a small group. Small groups are great. We want you to be in a small group. They will help you. But what I'm talking about is a relationship where you're hanging with God, when you're conversing with him. What would you do, God? How would you want me to do this? It's a relationship, and you have to be in the Word of God. You cannot bypass this, okay? This is going to tell you whose you are, what you have, and what you can do. So, saying that, people would still say, I hear you, Pastor Chris. You showed me some natural things, but me imitating God, you don't know where I'm at. Guys, you didn't know where I was at, man. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you've accepted Jesus in your life, I'm going to help you with this in imitating God. I'm going to help you. If you've asked Jesus to come into your life, here's what happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, woman, boy, or girl asks Jesus to come into their life, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You may say to me, Pastor Chris, that old hasn't passed away. I'm still dealing with it. Well, let me help you with that, because what's really happened with you is when you ask Jesus, oh, you're going to heaven. That's great news. Oh, he's forgiven you of all your sins. That's great news. But what happened to you is something on the inside happened. Oh, if you're heavy, you're still going to be heavy after you accepted Jesus. If you're thin, you're still going to be thin. If you have a full head of hair, you have a full head of hair. If you're bald, nothing we can do about that. But on the inside, bald is beautiful. On the inside, something is taking place. Something's taking place. I am not the same. I am a new creation in Christ. Oh, I may look the same. You may see Chris the same as the day before he got saved. But on the inside, Jesus is looking at me differently. I have the ability in me, man, to do some things. And I don't think that we've been talking enough about it. I don't think that we don't know whose we are in Christ. Let me help you with that. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says this. This is you and I, if we've accepted Jesus in our life. We have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. That's good news, man. Come on, somebody ought to be saying amen to that. Let me explain what that verse means. I have been crucified with Christ. Well, I'm still living. You know, I accepted Jesus yesterday, and I'm still here. Well, you still see Chris. He looks pretty much the same. But the inside Chris, the inner man, the one who lives forever, this body, if it was the last 80, 90, 100 years, what's that in the scope of eternity? The real me, who I am and who you are, is your inner man, your spirit man. And the Bible says that my old man who used to sin and used to get into trouble, it was crucified with Christ on that cross. And it's no longer now I who live, but Christ Jesus living in me. Check out this version. I love this version. It's a distilled version of Galatians 2:20. It says this. I consider myself as having died. You ought to do that. And now I'm enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using this body. That's so good, man. That's so good. Oh, you could still look at this and you could still get hung up with this flesh. But who I really am is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you look down a couple verses from there in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he's trying to get it across who we really are. It says, for he who knew no sin, who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the only person that walked the face of this earth that never sinned, never made a mistake, never lied, never came up short. Jesus, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin. Why? Why was he made to be sin? So that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's called the great exchange. Check this out. I sinned. I made lots of mistakes. Jesus didn't. He's the perfect Son of God. He said, I'm going to exchange. I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to take your sin. And you've been now called, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not based upon what Chris is. It's not based upon what I look like or what it feels like. It's not based upon actually anything except what God has done. He's made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to explain that because we don't talk about righteousness a lot. A lot of people don't even know what righteous means. Here's what righteous means. Right standing with God. Right standing with God. Well, that's good news, right? But it means oh so much more than that. When the Lord was dealing with me about this scripture and not releasing me of imitating him, he had to teach me a lot about righteousness. And righteousness means in right standing with God, but it also means as if I've never sinned. Whoa. You talk about major tilt on the pinball machine. God is saying, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What that means is if God was standing on this stage right now and he was standing opposite of me, he's here, I'm here. He's looking at me and he still sees me. And he says, Christopher, you are getting a little gray up there, but you sure do look good in that suit jacket. No, he wouldn't say that. What God says is he sees Jesus. What God sees is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is a spirit. You and I are a spirit. What he's looking at, he's looking at this flesh, but what God really sees is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christopher, if you've accepted my son, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh man, you got to get revelation of that. You got to dwell on that. You got to think about that. You got to meditate on that over and over and over. It's as if I've never sinned. That's the way God looks at us when we accept him. It doesn't mean, listen, I want to preface it. It doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. I make mistakes. It doesn't mean that I'll never sin. Oh, I'll sin. Jared, quit saying amen to these things. I make plenty of mistakes. I will sin. But see, guys, it's not based upon my shortcomings. It's based upon what Jesus did. Jesus nailed it to the cross. He went and took my sins and my failures to the pit of hell, and he conquered death. He conquered sickness. He conquered disease. He conquered lack. He conquered addiction. He conquered anxiety. He conquered everything evil. And in exchange, he says, I'm giving you, wait a minute, Christopher. I know you still look the same, but inside you, I'm giving you my righteousness. I want you to think about that. If I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm in right standing with God, meaning as if I've never sinned, wouldn't that lead you and I to believe that we have the ability, not to say that we do it all the time, but we have the ability within us to think right, talk right, and act right. Listen, if I'm in right standing with God, think about this, and we're so tainted with all our mistakes, that's all we want to dwell on, but think about as if I've never sinned, Adam and Eve in the beginning. If I've never sinned, wouldn't that lead you to believe that I have the ability to think right, talk right, and act right? Yes. You and I as Christians have the ability to think right, which is to think like Jesus. We have the ability to talk right, talk just like Jesus. We have the ability to act right, just like Jesus, because the greater one is dwelling on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells inside you and I right now to quicken this thing. That's good news, man. Because you know what? I look at my failures and I look at my mistakes and I get tripped up, but God's saying, whoa, let me pick you up. Let me walk with you, and I want you to imitate me. There's no way that I could imitate God in all my failures and my mistakes without him, but in him, knowing whose I am, I can do this. Let me help you with that. I've been doing this for the last 15 years. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this, but it sure has helped Pastor Chris, and I hope maybe it'll help you. So I know a lot of you are looking and listening and thinking, don't know about that righteous thing. Don't know if that means like, you know, it's hard for me to fathom that I am in right standing with God as if I've never sinned. So I had a problem with that too. I mean, I actually didn't believe it. Like I had the Lord, you got to continue showing me this. And so every day for the last 15 years, and I do it every day in my life, I do this. I get up and do my daily devotions before I go to work, before I eat, before I do anything. Just like you guys, you do your daily devotions, right? Yes, Pastor Chris, we do our daily devotions. I get up, first thing I do is go to the bathroom. Then I wash my hands, and then I'll splash cold water on my face. Why would you do that, Pastor Chris? Well, if I'm up, I want to be up. I don't want to be walking around like the living dead till 11 o'clock, in some kind of coma till 12, until, you know, somebody asks me. No, if I'm up, I want to be up, and I want to be at it. And without failure, I'll look into the mirror just as you do, and I'll say, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Every day. Let me tell you guys, when I first started doing that, I said, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All I'm doing is saying what God says. I didn't believe it. It didn't even feel right for me to say that. But after 15 years of saying, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, after looking in the rearview mirror of my car and looking at myself and saying, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know what? I believe it now. I believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have within me, doesn't mean I do it all the time, but I have the ability within me to think right, talk right, and act right. I have the ability to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and act like Jesus. And you know what? I don't know about you guys, but I got a mirror that talks back to me. And you guys got a mirror that talks back to you? I'll sometimes point in that mirror and I'll say, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It'll say, oh, dude, you need to go back to bed, man. You look like, ugh. I've heard it say in the mornings, it said things like, righteousness of God? Phew, don't you remember what you said to that person yesterday? There's other mornings when it'll say, you, the righteousness of God, who do you think you are? Do you remember how you acted toward that individual? And it used to try to talk me out of who I was in Christ. But after hearing myself do it over and over and over, because how's faith come? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God and hearing. I actually believe it, and there is no devil from the pit of hell. There's no demon. There's no one that can talk me out of that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so are you. So are you. So are you if you've accepted Jesus. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're in the right place at the right time, because we're going to give you that opportunity at the end of the service. And you want that. You want that, because this is all good. This is all good. And God's saying to us, you know, it doesn't matter what the mirror says to me now. Oh, it tries to talk back to me. And it doesn't really matter if you said something to me and said like, oh, Pastor Chris, we know you, man. We know that you've messed up royally. We know that you are. You are righteous. It doesn't matter. It's not based upon my mistakes. It's not based upon what I did do or didn't do. It's not based upon if I sinned. It's based upon the finished work of Jesus. And Jesus said that I've given you my righteousness, and I've taken your sins and mistakes in the great exchange, and I'm believing it. How about you? Come on. So, I want to give you some ammunition for when that mirror tries to talk back to you, because it will. I hope you start today. I hope you start tomorrow. And you talk into that mirror, and listen, you want to say what God's saying about you, not how it looks. Because boy, when I look in that mirror sometimes, it's like, whoa. But it's not based upon that. It's based upon the Word of God. And I have it firmly planted in me. So let me give you some scriptures. You may be saying, don't know if I'm there with you yet, Pastor Chris. Well, let me give you some ammunition, because the enemy will come immediately to steal the word from you, and here's what you can use against him. The Bible says that when you and I accepted Jesus into our lives, 2 Corinthians 2:16 came in too. Not only has he given us salvation, which means we're going to heaven, he forgave us our sins. The Bible says when we accepted Jesus, we not only got his spirit, but it says that we've been given the mind of Christ. Amen. That's what you need to be saying. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, here's what God didn't give us. He says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of power, love, and a what? A sound mind. My mind is not rattled. My mind is not scattered. My mind is not out there, dysfunctional. I have the mind of Christ. I have to say that when I don't believe it. I have to say that every day in my life. I have been given the mind of Christ. I have the ability within me to think right. You need to point to the mirror. You need to be looking to the mirror of God. It's called a mirror. And this mirror will tell you, Christopher, you've been given the mind of Christ. You've been given a sound mind. Well, that's what I want to believe. That's what I want to obtain for my life. The Bible also tells us that we are to take every thought captive and to bring it into the obedience of God. What's that mean? Well, before I was a Christian, man, I had some bad thoughts. I'll be completely transparent with you. I'm not same as you had. I mean, I thought some bad things, and I didn't know what to do with them. You know, I thought about them more and more and more. The Bible says don't do that. The Bible says to take every thought captive, and listen, bring it into the obedience of God's word. I'm going to have to be in the word of God to know if that's a good thought or a bad thought. I'm going to have to be in the word of God to know what to substitute that bad thought with the good of word of God. I can't just think about anything. Listen, guys, this is a responsibility for you and I as Christians. We're to imitate God, and we're not just to be thinking about anything and everything. When that bad thought comes to you, get that thing out of there immediately. Substitute it with the word of God. The Bible says in Philippians, we're to think about good things, of a good report, that are lovely, that are noble and true. If it isn't, get rid of it. Don't let it linger there, because if it lingers there long enough, you're going to act on it. Nobody there, huh? Only Pastor Chris. I know, man. That's a biggie. So, if I start saying, I've been given the mind of Christ, I have a sound mind, I can think right because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then I have the ability to think right. Don't get tripped up when you don't think right, but think more right than you do wrong. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I have the ability to talk right. What do you mean by that, Pastor Chris? I have the ability to talk just like Jesus. If I talk like Jesus, then I will be talking right. And when I talk right, I'll be getting right results. One of the hardest things for me, Pastor Chris, was getting my words in line with the Word of God. I came from a family that would just spew out whatever they were thinking. I mean, just talk about anything. And man, it was difficult when the Lord started convicting me and saying, you better shut that thing up. You're getting into trouble. In fact, my mom used to say when I was a little kid and I'd be mouthing off, she said, you better shut that trap up. This is a trap. This is a major trap. Oh, we shouldn't be saying just anything. Oh, you may be feeling it. You may be wanting to say it. You might be wanting to in return. Oh, man, I just got to get this. Listen, what's the old good saying we all learn? If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Right. Learn to zip that thing up, man. Learn to zip that thing up. We should only be speaking the word of God. Don't ever speak what you don't want. Oh, my kid's going wayward. My kid's addicted to drugs. Oh, I don't know if I, don't ever, oh, man, my back's killing me. Oh, don't say those things. Yeah. Don't say what you don't want. Speak the word of God over your life. Speak the word of God over your kids. Speak the word of God over your business. Speak the word of God over everything. That's what we're called to do, is to imitate him. Just as I watch Willie Stargell in that dugout, I'm watching Jesus and I'm saying, he's saying, Christopher, you need to limit what you're saying. Did not Jesus say, I only say what I hear my Father say? You know what? This is so cool. God just kind of reminded me just this last week as I was prepping. You know, Jesus was sent here to imitate his Father. He was sent to this earth to show us what heaven's really like and what the Father was like. And Jesus came, and he was imitating his Father. He was copying him. And then he said, I want you to do this with me. He said, I only do those things that I see my Father do. He was mimicking his Father, and he was telling us, I want you to do that with me. We have the ability within us to speak right. And the world would say to you, if you go to these psychologists or whoever, they would tell you in the natural that if you think right and you talk right, then your actions will line up, right? I found that to be true in my life. If I think on good things and then I only speak good things, then my actions, I'll be find myself doing good things. But if I get out of that order and I think on bad things, next thing you know, I'll start talking bad things, and then I'll start acting out bad things. It's like, wow, you know, I wonder how I got in this jam. And we say that to God all the time. How in the world did I get here, Lord? How, why did you let this happen to me? And meanwhile, he's saying, imitate me, think right, talk right, and act right, and you can have the right results, thinking like Jesus, mimicking him. We have that ability. I just remembered, I had a video, man. that showed you Chris pre-Christian. And I forgot to show it again today. I did it this morning. I did it last night, but it doesn't fit in right here. But anyhow, you would have seen that Chris was not the Chris you see standing here today. So anyhow, we see that we can imitate God. We can imitate Jesus. Go with me here. What would it look like? What would it look like if you and I took our rightful place and just started imitating God? What would it look like in our neighborhoods? What would it look like in the workplace? What would it look like in our schools? What would it look like down at the ball field? If you and I started copying Jesus, we started to think like him, talk like him, and act like him, I'll tell you what would happen. We talk about making an impact. If just the people in this room applied what you're hearing today, think of the impact that we could make. There's something different about that guy. I just don't know what it is. That girl that works with us, there's just something different about her. I'll tell you what it is. It's Christ Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. This world needs hope. This world needs to see Jesus. It needs some answers, man. Listen, he's up in heaven. Jesus is seated by him. And we're here to occupy. And we're his representatives. We're here to show this hurting, messed up world what God is really like. We're to imitate him, mimic him, copycat him. You saying to me, Pastor Chris, you want us to copycat God? Yes, absolutely. That's what he's saying, Ephesians 5:1. So I brought you all the way to this point. Application. What's the application? Listen, it isn't a good message if you just hear a good message and then you walk out of here and it's nothing that you can apply to your life. It has to be something that you could take with you. And that's what's so great about coming to church and hearing Pastor John, whoever's speaking, is they've had revelation of the subject, and it's maybe taken them years to gain this revelation, and you get to come in a half hour, 40 minutes, and glean from that and apply it immediately to your life, and you could see your life change dramatically. Well, this has taken me 15 years to get this down. But boy, you can take this and start today, start tomorrow, and you can actually see, you'll see God actually moving, and your life will look a whole lot different if you just start speaking what he says. And you'll just start acting like he does, and just start thinking like he does. Line it up with the Word of God. So, I set you up this morning. The Bible says, when Jesus came here, that he was the exact representation of God. So that means what Jesus did and wanted done was what God wanted done. And Jesus said this, guys, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve you. What? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What king comes to serve and not be served? Come on, the kings of this world, they're like, you serve me, people. Jesus came in the exact opposite. He said, I didn't come to be served. Listen, I come to serve you. And guys, we're going to imitate him. We're going to imitate him. This is one of the easiest asks that you and I can do. It's a great place to start. As Jesus came to serve, we're going to serve. We're going to serve our community July 24th. July 24th is our annual serve day at all our campuses up at Vernon, Meadville, Newcastle. Our whole family is going to come together. We're going to go out and serve our community. We're going to go out and make an impact. You say, what is serve day? Serve day is when we go out as a church one day out of the year, July 24th. Now, we do it on a continual basis, but this is where we want everyone. When I say your whole family, I mean your whole family, from the littlest tyke up to grandma and grandpa. I want you to get your small groups together and say, let's go do this project together. Your dream team, the people you serve with on the weekends, get them together. Let's make it an experience. We're talking a half a day on Saturday. 8 to 12, 9 to 1. It can be an all-day project. You say, what is serve day? What am I doing? You're serving the community. Listen, our mission for outreach is the same mission for serve day. And it is this. We recognize a need, and then we fulfill it. It's what Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and in healing all that were oppressed to the enemy. We tend to focus on the healing all the oppressed, but the Bible said he went about doing good. That's what we want to do. We want to do good to our neighbors. You know, it's okay if you pick someone in church. We'd like for you to reach out in the community. I'm going to exhort you and admonish you right now. You know, we're in such a big hurry all the time. Got to hurry to get to work, hurry to get to shopping, hurry to get to school, hurry to get to church. I want you this week to just slow down a little bit enough to recognize a person in need around you. In the neighborhood, on the way to work. Maybe it looks like this. Maybe it's an elderly couple and their shrubs need pruned. How about taking that on? How about that single mom that's got her hands full, man? Just overloaded. And you say, hey, can I take your car? We're going to wash it this weekend, change the oil in it, clean the inside out for you. Think that'd make a difference? How about that old guy, older guy in the neighborhood? His beds are all weeds, full of weeds. You just go out and clean his weeds for him. Maybe it's a family that seems down and out, and they could just use a little boost. And you say, hey, can I put some paint on that front door? Can I paint your front porch? There isn't too many people would say, no, I don't want you doing anything. You recognize the need. Maybe it's going along Route 19 or 68 or 228 and just picking up garbage along the thing. Man, you have so much fun serving with each other. Serving's where it's at. Frank told you about it. You can go down to Pittsburgh, adopt a block where we just go pick out a city block. We clean up the rubbish, talk to the people who live there. That's all. It's not a big ask. But we're asking you to be involved July 24th. I'll always have some projects in my back pocket. We'll do the community park. We'll do Urban Impact. We'll do Glade Run. And we have a lot of projects. We want you, though, to submit your project, recognize a need, and then fulfill it. And guys, let's impact our region. Let's do that. And if you are still coming up short with a project, we have this outreach here at Victory Family Church. I'm sure you see it coming in. It's called Help Your Neighbor. We could use your help. Help Your Neighbor Monday through Thursday, 10 o'clock to 2. We're sorting food. We're packaging food. And then we're putting it in bags and sending it out. We're affecting this whole region. We have something for everyone. It is so much fun to come serve at Help Your Neighbor. It's such a great group of people. If you're elderly and you want to sit, you can't stand, we'll get you a chair. We've had baseball teams, soccer teams, wrestling teams, swimming teams come and help us. We need your help, okay? Come give us an hour. Come give us a half a day. You will enjoy it so much, I can't tell you. Serving is addictive. Serving's where it's at. It's what you were created for. So help us with that. Let's imitate our Lord and Savior. Another way we imitate God is Jesus came with a purpose. And he says, I came to seek and save the lost. And so at this time in our service, in every service, we're going to make sure that everyone's had an opportunity to receive the gift of Jesus. He is a gift. He turns no one away. It's not based upon what you've done or you didn't do. You say, my life's a complete mess. He doesn't care. He loves you. He loves you so much. We love you. That's why we do this. That's why we have church is for this moment right here. I've been praying all week. We have a team of people here at church, a staff. We do all this for this moment right here to make sure everyone has had the opportunity to accept Jesus. Maybe you're like, well, Pastor Chris, I think I have. I'm not really sure. This is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Don't you leave here today not knowing. The Bible says he turns no one away. It doesn't matter anything. Jesus is for you. Who wouldn't want Jesus? I mean, it costs you nothing. You gain everything in return. He loves you. He cares about you. He'll walk with you. He'll do life with you. We will do life with you. We'll help you. God never meant for you to do life alone. That's why we have church here. It isn't about just coming and meeting. It's about helping you walk through life together, hand in hand, arm in arm. I want to ask you right now, if you close your eyes, bow your heads. Just between you and the Lord, I know this. If you've never accepted Jesus or you're not sure you have, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And what he's saying is, he's tugging on your heart and saying, don't leave. I love you. When he prays, you pray with him. Guys, please, don't ever put off till tomorrow what you can do today. No one knows what a night or a day brings. If you've never accepted Jesus, or you're not sure you ever have, whether you're at a campus, one of our other campuses, whether you're watching halfway around the world, I'm going to ask you to do something so simple as, it's just in a moment, raise your hand so we know how many people we're praying for. No one's going to single you out. No one's going to embarrass you. We just want to pray for you, and we're all going to pray the prayer together because we believe this and we're for you. So if you've never accepted Jesus or you're not sure, just slip up your hand right now so I can pray for you. The whole church is going to pray together. Anyone at all? Just raise that hand up high. Want to make sure you don't leave here without having a best friend of Jesus. Yes. Yes. All right. So whether you're on another campus, whether you're watching online, repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need you. I need your help. I need a new beginning. I want a new start. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, for my mistakes, and you want to come into my life to help me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Help me to imitate you in all I do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's celebrate those people who just made that decision.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.